Hello everyone, welcome to Channels, the Next Flow podcast. My name is Chris and today I'm speaking to you from Germany.
Hello everyone, my name is Marcel. I'm speaking to you from Brazil.
As always, the Next Flow community is humming with activity and we're here to talk about some of the many things that have come across our notifications. So let's get going with channeling the Next Flow community buzz. Marcel, take it away please.
Hello everyone. So there was this fix recently that was very interesting, and some people were complaining about some issues when resuming on AWS, some pipelines. And actually what happened in the end is that there was some issue when resolving S3 buckets, URIs and URLs that had space in the name of the files. So it would work just fine, but when you try to resume, it wouldn't resume properly because of these blank spaces. So there was a fix on that, and now it's working fine. So basically there was an issue on the resume part, let's say. I think it's interesting to bring this issue because there's a lot of misconceptions about the S3 paths, the URIs in general, and we're working with cloud providers and similar things. And I think that by bringing that, we have an opportunity to talk about this topic. And I think it's something that Chris can add here about it, because why these S3 paths, they're not just strings, as some people think, and how you should handle that. So Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, look, so I guess this is something else that we can talk about today, was that there was actually a little addition made to the documentation for how to best use S3 bucket paths when you're using cloud computing. So when a file reference is created using a URL path, it's converted to a string. And the protocol schema is not included in the resulting string. So if you were to use something to just specify the string, so something like, you know, to string, as you might specify it in Nextflow, it won't always work because it doesn't have the schema at the start. So it doesn't have that little S3 part. But if you use to URI string, it will include that in your resulting file path. And it will mean that Nextflow will be able to resolve this path and use it when you are trying to specify your remote bucket of data. And it's something very small, but very important when you're using cloud computing, is to actually specify that properly. And it is something that we do see occasionally in different channels where people are having trouble specifying their remote paths. I think the next thing we have on our agenda that we want to talk about was the support for the SPAT package.
Yeah, this is a great news for HPC people, let's say. So now Nextflow has native support for the SPAC package manager. It's another community contribution, this time again from Marco Della Pierre. So we mentioned him in the previous episode because he also brought support for Sarus, which is an OCI compatible container engine for HPC. So now he brought to us support for SPAC, which is a very famous package manager in the HPC community. So it's a package manager for supercomputers, Linux, macOS. It makes installing scientific software easy. It's pretty similar to Conda in many concepts. It's not tied to any particular language. You can build your software stack in Python, R, whatever. And now it's very nice that Nextflow has built in support to that. So one interesting thing that I like about Nextflow is that whenever we have support for all these container engines or these executors or these package managers, they're very similar. So if you've been using Conda, for example, and you know that you have the command line parameters with Conda, without Conda, you have the Conda scope in the config file, you have the Conda directive, you have the NXF on the line, Conda on the line enable, you have the Conda.enable in the config file. All these things is the same for SPAC. You have with SPAC, without SPAC. You have the SPAC scope, you have the SPAC directive, you have the NXF on the line, SPAC on the line enable environment variable, or also the SPAC.enable in the config file. So if you know how to use Conda with Nextflow, automatically already know with any other package manager, because we are always going to follow this standard that we have done in the past. So it's very easy to use SPAC. You just enable it just like you would with Conda. The directive inside the process, you can just do the same with the package name and the version. You can have many by splitting them by space. So it's very nice. And because it's optimized for HPC, there are some interesting things you can also do. Like there are optimization for local CPU macro architecture, and you can request a lot of things to building from source these packages. So if you're on HPC and you already know SPAC, great news. You can use it with Nextflow very easily now. I have your reproducible pipelines with all these things already managed by Nextflow. If you don't know SPAC but you use HPC, it's a great opportunity to learn more about it. I think it's pretty good. And again, I think it's a great addition to Nextflow and great news that it's another contribution from the community. I love that. I just really love when I see these things. And kudos to Marco again for this amazing contribution.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it out. I haven't actually looked at it yet. I've only just started looking at the documentation now, but you know, I think it's something, you know, another great addition to Nextflow. So to change pace a little bit now, I wanted to talk about local hubs at the upcoming hackathon. So we've mentioned this at the end of our previous podcasts, where we sort of wrap up with the upcoming events. And of course, upcoming is the hackathon, which is happening at the end of March. And we've referenced these local sites a few times as something we're looking forward to, as a new initiative. We haven't done this before, but it's something that both Marcel and I, and I'm sure a lot in the community, are really excited about. So because at the summit, it was such a lot of fun to hack together. So before the last Nextflow summit, we had an NF Core hackathon, also in Barcelona, and we had 50 people come along and hack together. And it was such a lot of fun. So we wanted to try and replicate this again. And because we're not having one big event for everyone all together to sort of gather for, like we did before the summit, what we've come up with is this idea of having local sites. So the local sites are locations all over the world where community members are hosting other community members at the university or institute or just workplace. And the community will be able to gather at these sites and hack together. So this isn't to take away what's already happening online with GatherTown, which if you don't know what GatherTown is, it's kind of, if any of you have ever played Pokemon before, you have a little character or person that you can run around in what we're going to call the hackathon space. You can interact, and as you get closer to people, you can talk to them. As you get further away, you can't hear them. A lot of tables that you can sit around and communicate, and it's a really, really fantastic way to hold these virtual events. Anyway, the sites definitely aren't to take away from that, but the idea is that by having a local site, you can kind of foster this real energy that we had at the hackathon prior to the Nextflow summit, where it was just such a lot of fun to hack together. So we're really excited by the number of sites that we already have. I think we have 20-ish different sites already from all over the world, so lots from Europe and the Americas, a couple from outside of those places as well, which is really fantastic. And it's fantastic that there are so many community members that are willing to host. And one of the sites we're probably most excited about is a site that's going to be at the Google Academy in London, which the Google team sort of put together. They've got the space for us, as well as they're going to sort of help out with some catering and other things at that site as well, which is really, really amazing. And we really want to sort of extend our gratitude towards the Google team for helping organize that local site. For other sites, though, not to miss out, there is funding from Secure Labs and CZI, and we're really happy to be supporting local sites with some goodies just to make hacking that a little bit better. So just on all of these points, if you are interested in attending a local site, please reach out to local hosts and see if there's anything that you need to do specially. Otherwise, you can register for these sites using the NF Core event page registration, which is going to be online, or is online actually right now. So if you do want to go over and check that out, on the banner there, you'll be able to see the NF Core events page, which is nf-core.re/events. And on there, you'll be able to find information about the hackathon. And it's going to be a lot of fun and something we're really looking forward to. And we keep telling everyone that we're looking forward to this, but I know both Marcel and I really are. But I think, Marcel, you just attended a local event recently that you're going to tell us about as well.
Yeah, you're right. So actually, just to finish what you were saying, like anyone can just go to the NF Core website and the events page. You have the list of the hubs. And by clicking there, you get information about where it will be and who are the primary contacts. So if you are unsure about details or where to go, or how to go, or how to get there, you can just get in touch with the primary contact and get more information about the hub. So about the recent local event I attended, so there's an open source community organization here in my region in Brazil, which is called Poti Livre. And they're always organizing events. So because of the pandemic, it stopped a bit, but we're trying to start organizing more events now. And I got together with them to organize an event where we could talk about data-related topics, including Nextflow. So we did it. January is like a dead month in Brazil because everyone is in the beaches, people are taking vacation. So it's a very difficult moment to organize an event. But anyway, it's a local event. We did it Saturday morning. Probably not a lot of people going to show up. And in the end, we had over 50 people. So it was very nice. The discussions were amazing. And it reminded me just how important these local events can be. So you don't have to wait for a huge conference to attend or in a big city. You can just organize a meeting with your friends and with people that you know that are interested in Nextflow. You just choose a place, can be your office place or public place. You just get together and you can discuss Nextflow. You can teach your friends something new you learn. You can present to them something interesting you've been doing with Nextflow. So I just want to remember that these local events, even though they are small and local and stuff, they can still be a lot of fun. And if there's no one around your place, maybe it's an opportunity for you to organize that. And then you can start this trend of events that regularly happen. And definitely there's lots to learn in these places, networking and all these things. So just wanted to share how fun it was this last Saturday. It was very, very nice. And it got very nice feedback also. So it seems people enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably on the back end of the pandemic, we all got used to sort of attending these things online, but to be able to actually get back face to face, it's really fantastic. Okay, so what else do we have on our board here? Okay, so sadly, this is going to be the final episode of the News and Views podcast for the season. So this will be the last podcast Marcel and I do for a little while. A lot of this is because we do have large initiatives coming up, such as the Nextflow and NFCore training and the NFCore hackathon. And we're really switching our focus to organizing those events and making sure that they can be the best events they can possibly be. But we'll be really interested in hearing your feedback and what you liked and what you'd like to hear more about in the future on this podcast. You can reach out to us on Slack. I think we'll probably put up a couple of polls in the podcast channels. We're really like you to help shape the direction of this podcast moving forward and sort of beyond what we're doing now, but potentially what we're doing in the future. If you want to sort of hear more technical or more social or more community-based content, that's all really valuable feedback, which we'd be really happy to receive. So just on the back of that again, I guess we'll just sort of list off the upcoming events that we've got coming up again. So next Tuesday, February the 7th, we have Matthias, who's going to be explaining the newly added pre-commit tool, an NFCore tool. So that's going to be the next bite size. So pre-commits were developed to inspect the snapshot that is about to be committed and helps to check formatting before adding the code to repository. So Matthias has done a bit of work on that, and he is going to be telling us about that in more detail. As already mentioned, for the last few podcasts already, we have the training coming up on the 13th and 16th of March. This is the new initiative that we're going to be doing in the different languages, or the presenters will be presenting the content in different languages. The registration is now open. And already that's been open for less than a week, or probably coming up about a week now. We've already had hundreds of registrations. So we're really focused on preparing the content for that and making sure that those are really polished for everyone who's going to attend. As well as that, as already mentioned again, the hackathon is coming up the 27th to the 29th of March. Registration of the hackathon is now open. And we've already talked about the local sites today, but I hope that we see many of you who are listening to the podcast there. And if you do see us floating around together or at a local site, really love to come say hello and have a chat to us about either the podcast or anything else you're interested in, because it's a really good opportunity for us to get some content for next season. So with that, Marcel, is there anything else you wanted to add? Or
yeah, I just wanted to share the joke about my background. So probably some of you watching the channels on YouTube probably saw that every episode I have a different mention on my background. And this started as a joke because the first time we were recording on StreamYard, I didn't want to blur my background. So there were a few pictures that were in the options that StreamYard already provides to us. So I just clicked one of them. It was a mention. We started recording. I didn't mind, whatever. So a few days later, someone contacted Phil. I'm not going to review who is the person, but someone contacted Phil and said, oh my God, Marcel lives in that nation? Oh my God, that's amazing. And then it was so funny that the person I was watching believed that this was a real background. And today it doesn't make a lot of sense because it's failing a bit right this either. So the background is not working properly. But I thought it was very funny. We all thought it was very funny that someone really believed that this was a real background. So I decided that every different episode, I would try to have a new mention on my background just a joke. So in the end, that's the making of my background.
No, and here I am with a boring old blurred background. So maybe I need to step it up for next season. Anyway, on behalf of Phil, Marcel and myself, thank you very much for coming again. It's been great to have you all here this season, and we look forward to seeing you again next season.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. It was great to talk to you.
All right. See you all soon. Bye.